Podcast 68, The Destruction of the Temple and the End of the Age. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. So today's Gospel reading from the lectionary is from the Gospel of Mark and tells us about Jesus' response to comments the disciples were making about the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and the end times or apocalypse. Jesus is in his last week of ministry, and he's teaching daily at the temple at this point. His disciples are there with him. A parallel reading is narrated in Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 19. The temple Jesus' disciples are admiring is the second temple, built by Herod the Great. Construction started in 20 BC and lasted for nearly 50 years, although the key buildings were completed and dedicated after 35 years. The dimensions of the second temple were massive. During major Jewish festivals, the outer court area was capable of holding nearly 40,000 people. Herod built a large plaza around the temple precinct, about 480 meters by 300 meters, the size of 6 football fields. Some of the stones of the retaining wall weighed up to 400 tons. The western wall, now known to Jews as the Wailing Wall or Kotel, is part of the western side of the retaining wall, i.e. this was not a wall of the temple proper, but is still the most holy site in Judaism. The walls of the temple itself were about the height of a 20-story building. It had 160 columns supporting the balconies and porticos that ran around three sides of the courtyard. The temple itself was built of marble and gold with bronze entrance doors. At one corner of the temple was the Antonia Fortress, named for Mark Antony, also built by Herod. In Jesus' time, this fortress was garrisoned by Roman soldiers who could look down from the top of the fortress into the temple courtyard. They used this fortress to keep a close eye on Jewish worshippers in the temple courts in case of unrest or riots. The temple was the most magnificent building in all of Jerusalem and Judea. For Jews living in Jesus' time, it is literally the place where God dwells. So what does Jesus say back to the disciples who praise this magnificent building? Basically, Jesus says this: enjoy it while you can, because one day this temple is going to be destroyed so thoroughly that not one stone will be left on top of another. Every one of them will be thrown down. The disciples would have been shocked and horrified. A terrible calamity which they still remembered from their history when the first temple was destroyed 600 years ago at the hands of the Babylonian conquerors. Did this destruction prophesied by Jesus happen? Yes, some 40 years later in 70 AD, following a Jewish revolt, the Roman general Titus besieged Jerusalem and destroyed it. All major buildings, including the temple, were razed to the ground. If you go to Rome today, there is a triumphal arch near the Colosseum where you can see the carving to commemorate Judea Capta, Judea in chains, which includes a frieze showing the Romans carrying a 7-branched candlestick or menorah taken from the temple as part of their triumphal procession through Rome. Jesus then goes on to answer the question from the disciples, when will this happen? And there are several characteristics of this apocalyptic timetable. Firstly, there'll be wars and rumors and wars. Secondly, there'll be natural disasters, earthquakes, famine, and pestilences. And thirdly, there will be persecution of believers. And you may wonder if this description and criteria means that we may be living in the last days in this 21st century. Certainly we have an abundance of natural disasters, including the current pandemic. with more disasters to come unless global warming can be brought under control. As well, we have more widespread persecution of Christians than any other period in history, including the reign of the Roman Empire. However, these elements have been present in history more than once in the last 2,000 years. How are we to interpret this scripture for today? Some churches, and particularly Pentecostal churches, major on this topic of the end times and seek to interpret various world events as signs of the times that Jesus' return is near. It pays to remember that the disciples of Jesus' day, including Paul, all thought that Jesus would return in their lifetimes. The Gospels give us a clue about how to handle this sort of speculation. Matthew 24 verse 36 says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And Mark 13:32 repeats this message. "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." None of the Gospels or New Testament or Old Testament writings give us a heavenly calendar to track the apocalypse or the end of the age. Those who point to scriptures such as the book of Revelation or the prophecies of Daniel are dealing with highly symbolic and mysterious writing. Definitive answers are just not possible from these source texts. And so I think this is something that's really not worth speculating about all that much. However, Jesus does give us a warning that I think is relevant today about how we should live in the parallel passage in Luke 21, verses 34 to 36. "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with partying, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." So Jesus warns us in these verses about being distracted from our faith by other things, having a good time, partying, drugs, alcohol, and the anxieties of life. It's interesting how these particular elements have been highlighted as things that can distract us from our gospel focus. I'm particularly interested in the last item, the anxieties of life. The fact that the anxieties of life is listed with partying and getting drunk as something that can completely distract us from our focus on Jesus is something we should, as disciples, take a careful note of. We live, at the moment, in an anxious world. As Christians, we are specifically warned by Jesus not to let the anxieties of life steal our focus from continuing to walk with Jesus every day. Jesus warns us to be always on watch, so that we can stand before the Son of Man. So for the main takeaway for this gospel reading, I get this: live each day as if Jesus was coming back tomorrow. That way, when he does come back, you'll be ready.